We ready? Where is that buddy? We burned them out. They all got tired. So yesterday we were in the duck blind, and Al gave us the news. My oldest brother worked on a dryer for his wife, walks in, sits down on the couch, and just clunk, falls over, heart attack. He was the oldest one. He's about, he's dead. His body is. He was a brother. So that's the oldest one. I think Jimmy Frank was about 78 or 80, somewhere in there. Judy, my sister, she passed on about 5-6 years ago. She was in the middle of the Robertson kids, 7 of us. Then Harold last year, the one right under Jimmy Frank, he gone, some kind of dementia. Here's the bottom line. We all going that way, correct? Now look, you can stick your head in the sand and say, well, we all die. So we've talked about the faith here for about a couple of months. I'm morphing it out into hope. The hope. I've been hollering about this for 40 years. We're all here. We heard the singing. You listening, America? I think this is streaming live to a good portion of America. The data is now in about 46 to 48% of America are what you call the nuns. They're either unchurched or never churched or just skeptics. You say, do they meet anywhere? No. You say, almost half of us. They all are looking at the 6-foot hole that's coming up that my brother will go into and my sister went into and my other brother went into. There's 4 of us left. That'd be Tommy. He's 2 years older than I am. Then there's me, then Cy, and then Jan. So when number 3 bit the dust, 7 children, 3 of them are now gone. Cy is seated next to me. We're duck hunting. We got the news, and I said, Cy, let's see. That's the 3 oldest ones. I said, you and I are next. He said, I know it. You say, did you cry? Nope. Brothers, I'm discussing hope today, but more how it comes forth from faith. Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Now, I got the word about my oldest brother who fell asleep while I was in the duck blind yesterday. The Apostle Paul said he didn't want me nor the Thessalonians to be ignorant about those things. We don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. He said, what happened to your brother? I said, he fell asleep. Sat down on the couch. His wife looked at him. He just fell over. Fell asleep. Or don't be dumb about it or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Hey, America. You may be one of the nuns. I'm unchurched. I was never churched. And I'm just going to take my chances with the grave without faith in God. If there is no God, we're all going 6 feet deep and you're never coming back. Neither am I. We're not coming back if there's no God. We have one chance, one hope, one faith. That's why I'm here sort of excited about it. I have nowhere else to turn when it comes to the 6-foot hole that I'm going into. Anybody out there have anywhere else to turn? You can raise your hand and say, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do about the 6-foot hole coming up. Lay it on me. What are you going to do? You think you can beat it? I don't want you to be ignorant about the ones who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's why I wrote it down one more time. See that? God became flesh 2014 years ago. There's the arrow coming down out of heaven. Died on a cross for the sins of the world, was buried. And this story says, there's life beyond the grave. That's a little bit of my introduction. So let's reel back about 4,000 years. 4,000 years ago, a guy named Abraham, this is post-flood. You want to hear a wild read. I'm going toward via the faith and the hope we have to live beyond the grave. That's what I'm discussing today. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. God told Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. Here's this dude. I'm telling you. I mean, he's like, do what? I'll make your name great. He's thinking, really? You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Nobody's going to fool with you, son. You listen, Abraham? He said, I'm listening. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You said, Phil, let me ask you something. Was Abraham a sinner? Yeah. Were all the rest of them sinners from Adam till now? Were they sinners? He drowned about all of them but eight. This is the rebounding bunch. You're like, were they all sinners? Yep. Had the law been given yet? Nope. You say, when this was said, Genesis 12, how long was it until the law was given? According to the Apostle Paul, I read it to you a minute, 430 years after this. This is a couple of thousand years before Jesus, when God told some guy over there in the Middle East, everybody going to be blessed through you. And he's like, now think about, put yourself in this fellow's shoes. God calls you out and say, come over here a minute. I'm going to bless everybody on earth through you, son. You're like, all, everyone on earth is going to be blessed through me? Yeah. Genesis 15, you reading along with me? Hey, America, you listening? The Lord came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield and your great reward. Abram said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, Lord. You said everybody was going to be blessed through me. But I'm just saying it must be from old Eliezer, because I don't have any children, Sarah and myself. You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. I guess that's the way you're going to bless everybody. The word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir. No. Now you got to remember, Abraham's about 100 by now. But a son coming from your own body will be your heir. I'm just saying, I'm 100, let's say, if I make it to 100. In this case, you'd be about 90. You say, you planning on, even if you have the ability which I'm 68 now. You say, you're fading out pretty quick. I mean, I'm still good to go, but you say, I don't know, when I hit about 100, Abraham's a 68, let's see, that's another 70, 32 years. You're like, well, Abraham's thinking like I am. He said, a son will come from your own body, and he will be your heir. He took him outside. He said, I'm going to bless all nations through your seed. Abraham's listening. He took him and said, look at the heavens and count the stars. He's talking about all the people that will be blessed. I'm giving you this news, America, because it's the only shot you have. You want to go down that politically correct road where there is no God and there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, go ahead. You have no chance. None. Zero. You're not getting out of here alive unless there's a God in heaven. I'll take my chances without him. About half of America have. We shall see. I'm not going to join them. I don't care if every last one of you goes joins that politically correct crowd. I'm not going to join them. You know why? At the end of the day, at the end when the heart goes, like my brother yesterday morning, when that day comes, there is no hope unless there's a resurrection of the dead. I got to go with it. Do you have a better idea? Oh, but it's so hard to love God and my neighbor. It's just so difficult for me to not breathe anybody I want to, anytime I want to. It's just so difficult. So much pressure on my life. So shall your offspring be like the stars in the sky. Abraham, listen, believe the Lord. Faith. And he credited it to him, because you believe me, I'm giving you something on credit. Because it's going to be a while before your seed blesses the whole world. Abraham, how much longer is it going to be? He said, a couple of thousand years. Abraham said, I got to wait that long to be blessed? A couple of thousand years. That's when it's coming. He's like, I am the Lord. So you got that. Now, Matthew 1:1. Here's an interesting read. The guy I just read to you, I read about. Guess who he was? A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You say, we're 2,000 years later. You say, how long have we gone from when God told Abraham, through your seed, everybody going to be blessed? We're a couple of thousand years now later. The time has come. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who? The son of Abraham. There's old Abraham. He was the father of Isaac. See all those names? That's how Jesus got here. That's how Isaac came from Abraham. And from Isaac came Jacob, you say. And 2,000 years later, here comes Jesus through your seed. Who could have dreamed this up? Now watch. Take your chances without Jesus. I can't tell you good luck, because it's not coming down to luck. It's coming down to faith. Galatians 3. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life, just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham. I read them to you. And to his seed. Somebody's coming out of your body that's going to save the peoples of the earth. Going to be like the stars in the sky. The scripture does not say to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is, you can say it, who is Christ. That's how Christ got here, through Abraham. What I mean is this. The law, after God told Abraham he was going to bless the world through it, 430 years later it was introduced, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. The promise stands. You say, what about when the law was given and everybody violated it? I told you earlier that Abraham was a sinner, even though he didn't violate the law of Moses written down in stone. You say, did sin and death reign from the time of Adam until the law was given? That'd be yes. Read Romans 5. You're like, everybody was sinning before God wrote it down in stone. You say, well, what did people do when God wrote it down in stone? Don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't sleep with men, women with women, with your aunt, with your sister. Don't do that. You say, what were people doing before it was written down? They were doing what it said, don't do. They were all being immoral. They were all lying, and they were all stealing, and they were getting drunk. You say, were they getting drunk in Russia? Drunk as a skunk. You say, did the Chinese get drunk? Yeah. Africans, every last one of them. You say, everybody getting drunk, getting high. You say, same sins that these people were doing. God drowned them all, started all over again. How'd the second batch turn out? Well, once you had it written down, you ought to know better, right? Well, the ones who didn't have it written down, you say it was written in their heart. You say, everybody ends up, they're up to no good, including all of you and me. But God said, everybody will be blessed through Jesus. Do you believe me, Abraham? How long is it going to take? A couple thousand years. He's going to show up. By the way, when Isaac came forth from Abraham, first thing God tells Abraham, now go down there and kill him. He said, but you told me, though, through my seed all nations be blessed. Now, look, you want me to do what? He said, you go ahead and kill him. He said, well, Abraham said, well, let's see. He's going to bless the nation, all nations through my seed, and now he wants me to kill my seed. And he's the only one I have. So ain't no way he's going to bless everybody if I'm going to kill the one he's going to bless them through. But evidently, Abraham reasoned, I guess he's going to raise him from the dead. Let me get my knife sharp. That's pretty good faith right there. I just hope I can be that faithful. Think about what that took. He says, kill him now. He said, hold a minute. I'll just see if you do it. I'm paraphrasing. If the inheritance depends on the law of Moses, I added of Moses, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. God promised a guy way back there. Whew. What then was the purpose of the law? Why put the human race under a code that is very strict if you had made the promise to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him? The law was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. See that air coming down? Just wait till he gets here. Everybody will be held captive until he shows up. The law was put into effect through angels. Remember, the mountain jumping up and down Mount Sinai. A mediator, however, through a mediator, A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. So the way it worked out is, he makes the promise that the seed will come. Jesus is God, who became flesh. God the Father is God, who sent his Son. We become children of God, and we all together with the Father, who is God, and the Son, who is God, and the Holy Spirit, and us all together, we become one. So God ends up over here mediating with himself for us who are in him. I like the sound of it. You talk about a good position to be in. The sons of God have a mediator who is God, who became flesh, who is mediating between we humans and God the Father. And we're all of the same faith, the same kingdom, the same body, the same church. If a law had been given that could impart life, a code, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. I'm making the charge, as the Apostle Paul did before me, that not a living soul has ever been perfect. Ever kept the law perfectly. No one. Until Jesus showed up. He keeps it perfectly. Here's the way it worked. If a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. Keep the code and live. You do understand while you're keeping the code, the law of Moses, the law of works, there is no provision for violations. You understand that. Everybody's like, nothing is going to remove my breaking it. Nah, there's no provision there. You want to stand before God based under a law of works? You're not even going to come close. You say, I'm going to die unless I come out from under a law of works. You're going to die as surely as I'm sitting here, and you're going into a grave to be cut off forever and ever. Watch. Righteousness would have certainly have come by the law if it could have been done. But the scripture declares, I'm in Galatians chapter 3, 13 and following. The scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. Does that leave anyone else out? So that what was promised to Abraham, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, way before it happened, might be given to those who believe. You say, what do you call built into that? It's called hope. Hope. You're not going to make it without it. You say, whoo, I've got one chance, one hope. Before this faith came, before Jesus showed up, we were held prisoners by the law. Abraham and all of them, he's going to say it later on, locked up until faith should be revealed. Boy, what a weight. You're like, my goodness, all those years. Well, why have a strict code? Why do that to the human race? He didn't do it to the human race. The human race does it to themselves. You don't have to lie to people. You don't have to get drunk. Look, I've been commode hugging drunk with the worst of you. You say, did you have to do that? No. So, Phil, do you get drunk anymore? Negative, no. Do you have the desire to get drunk? That'd be negative. You said, did I have to act like a fool when I was younger? No. I volunteered to act like a fool. Let's get high. I'm in. Let's get drunk. I'm in. Let's be immoral. Count me in. I was locked up. And so were you. Unless any of you out there think you're Miss Goody Goody Perfect. I've never run up on Miss Goody Goody Two Shoes. Not one of them. Man or woman. Be honest. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, the one that God told Abraham, he will come from your lineage, your seed. What a story. I think it's too far out for men to have dreamed up. I'm sorry. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ because we say, Lord, Lord, help me. I can't be perfect. I'm trying, but I just keep falling down. We might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law of works. You're like, whew. Well, when does it happen, Phil? When's the crossover when I come out from under a system where there was no provision for violations? When do I get into the faith where I'm not even under a system that demands perfection? Keep reading Galatians 3. That was the intro into Galatians 3:26. You saw that dude this morning? See, around here, if you want to respond and you want to do what I'm fixing to read to you, you say, well, do I have to wait at a designated time? Are you nuts? No. You get up and you move. Whenever the feeling comes upon you, it's like the feeling you never had before. You say, I better get down there and get to God, get these sins removed, because I'm going to burn if I don't. I've got a 6-foot hole coming up. The old guy with whiskers, he's not lying to me. He's saying, repent, turn to God, save yourself. Well, you telling me I'm a sinner? I'm like, yeah. Everybody else is. Well, I don't think this is a sin. I'm like, do you want me to read you a list? You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember what I read to you? So death comes along. Don't be ignorant about that or grieve like the rest of men. Why? We believe Jesus died and rose again. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Listen. You said, did you make this up? No. I'm just reading the Bible. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Duh. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. And it wouldn't make any difference what color you are. I mean, come on. It doesn't make any difference your ethnic background. Are you nuts? If you belong to Christ, you are whose seed? Abraham's seed. You're like, that promise given that far back, when it finally got there and Jesus came and died on a cross, you say, what'd that blood do that was shed right there? It went all the way back to Abraham, forgiving him of his sin. You say, that blood went all the way back to Abraham. He said, now you're cleansed, Abraham. You know why you're cleansed now, all these years later? Oh, Lord, I didn't receive the blessing. No, it was credited. You were on credit, which is pretty good credit when you're dealing with God. You say, that blood went all the way back, said, cleansed him. You're like, that is pretty cool. All of those guys before the death of Jesus, you say, how were they saved? They were all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. He's just telling you, from the time Jesus died, was buried and raised from the dead, went back into heaven. Now, Galatians 3, he's just giving you a little history, which I'm giving you 2,000 years after he gave you history. I'm giving you a little history 2,000 years later. There's neither. You belong to Abraham. And heirs, I'll bless many people, make you a great nation. You say, I'm one of the members of the great nation. Yep. I'm a member of the faith. Yep. Abraham is my father. He's the father of my faith. He's not the author and perfecter of the faith. He just believed God, and through him came Jesus, his genealogy, human lineage, and it's counted on my behalf. What I'm saying is, as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. You talk about a good deal. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. When we were children, all the people under the law of works, all those years, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, when the Romans were ruling, as Daniel would say, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law of works now, to redeem those under a law of works, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you're no longer a slave but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you an heir of the cosmos. I added of the cosmos. You say, why? Does God own it all? That's what you've been given. Phil, is physical death going to come my way? Yes. Am I going to fall asleep? Yes. Are you going to fall asleep? Yes. Cursed be all that learning that's contrary to the cross of Jesus Christ. James Madison, he wrote your Constitution. Cursed be all that learning that's contrary to the cross of Jesus Christ. He wrote your Constitution. It's a covenant between the government and you. So what do? This constitutional law scholar we have now running the country constantly and repeatedly tries to circumvent, and I don't hear him talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you? Religion is the basis and foundation of government. James Madison. This Constitution was written for a religious and a moral people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. We now have the any others. We have the unchurched, the never churched, and the I don't believe in anything crowd. We've staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government. Far from it. We've staked the future of all of our political institutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, listen to this, and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Old James Madison, I love him. You say, was he a little bit legalistic? He was legalistic, but he had it right. You're like, no God before God. You better worship God and him only. They don't bow down to idols. He said, you better not do that. You don't misuse God's name. He said, don't do that. You say, he stood on the Ten Commandments. You'll have a lot better nation if the whole nation stands on the Ten Commandments, that's for sure. You say, are we going to be able to keep them all? So if I had been James, I would have said, to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God, and since the nation or anybody else on earth is able to do that, we're going to try our best to do it, but we're going to always remember the grace of God that was provided for our nation and everybody else on the earth by his death on a cross and his burial and resurrection to release us, free us from the Ten Commandments. Whew. I would have just added a little bit. Ben Franklin, what do they say? He's a deist. Well, he really didn't believe in God. Really? Here's my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, and he ought to be worshipped. I thought you said he didn't believe in God. He's a deist. I've lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. This is Benjamin Franklin talking. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God noticing it, that bird, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? I thought you said he was a deist. He said, you're talking to me? That's what the politically correct crowd says. He's a deist. He's not really a believer in God. He didn't really believe that God works in the affairs of men. I just quoted you what Ben Franklin said. You said, would these dudes try to rewrite history on us? Yeah. That's a nation we ought to be ashamed of herself. 200 years ago, bad examples to youth are more rare in America, which must be comfortable consideration to parents. You say, who's talking, Ben Franklin? He's on your money! To this may be truly added that serious religion under its various denominations is not only tolerated in America, but respected and practiced. See where we started? Atheism is unknown in America. This is 200 years ago. Infidelity, rare and secret. Now they have parades right down through Main Street. Infidelity, rare and secret, so that you could live a long time in the United States of America without being shocked by either meeting an atheist or an infidel. Ben Franklin. America and the people in it have one chance. One. Repent of their sin, put their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, break the connection with Adam by being buried in water and raised from the dead. If we abide by principles taught in the Bible, how much time do I have? If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity, the ones after us, well, we're the ones after this guy said this. You say, when did this guy live on the earth? 1782 to 1852. We're the ones that came after him. We're into 2014. Daniel Webster, lawyer, statesman, Secretary of State. If we, the ones coming after him, and the ones coming after us, neglect the Bible's instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us all and bury all of our glory in profound obscurity. We will go down in a cloud of dust. We'll to never be heard of again. All you have to do is get away from your Bible. We're on our way. You know what the good news is? You folks I'm speaking to are in fact members of the faith, the kingdom of God, right? They can't do us in. You say, why? We're the children of the resurrection. Don't you get it? We believe in Jesus. We're never going to die. You say, just fall asleep. We just cross on the other side. We get out alive. You're like, whew. I love my country. I would love to see her repent. You say, but are you putting all of your marbles in that bag? I'm just giving them a few marbles. I'm saying, y'all ought to repent. Turn to God. You'll live. Y'all want some of that? What are you talking about? That's about a Bible? You're like, Bible. Got to get you out of here. God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. It got away from us. We let it slip away. If religious books, I'm still quoting the greatest speaker of his time, and the time was 1782 to 1852. You said, why are you bringing this up? Because I told you about Abraham, how long ago that was. This is 200 years, and we blew it in 150. You're like, we forgot. That's why when you go back to Abraham and look at his faith and how we, the world, was blessed through Jesus coming from his loins, you're like, you better get that into your son and your daughter's head. You better not be fighting with each other in front of them. You say, why? They won't believe you when you tell them about the Bible. If you're cursing each other and fighting and your children are watching you, you say, I will lose them. You will lose them. Soon as they get to these left-wingers up in these universities, they're going to twist their heads sideways. They're not going with this. You say, they're going to brainwash them, all of them. Yeah. Why do you think that all these evil ones, workers, ends up in your educational system? They're after your children. I'm sorry. They're getting them. Right? They're getting them. If religious books are not widely circulated among the masses in this country, I don't know what's going to become of us as a nation. I mean, he's worried about it in 1800. If truth be not diffused, error will be. If God and his word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain the ascendancy. All the cell phone and computer did was speed it all up. You can instantaneously see your girlfriend's breast on the telephone. Boy, look at this. I only bring that up because one of the brothers said his old girlfriend did that for him yesterday, trying to get him back. See, he's repented. He's turned to God. So what does she do? Look at my breasts. There's a picture of them. How about your 12-year-old, 13-year-old? He's got it in his hand. So does she. A window into the world of evil. Better make sure they know you love them. The devil and his works will gain the ascendancy if you don't. I'm speaking from a guy who said this 200 years ago. You think he knew what he was talking about? Huh? Well, sure he did. If the evangelical volume, that'd be Bible. I love the way these old guys talk. What'd they call the Bible? The evangelical volume. Ex-Brits, see? These Brits, you gotta love them. If it does not reach every hamlet, the Bible, the pages of a corrupt and licentious literature will. If you don't have a Bible in your house and people live by it, you don't have to tell me what's in your house. I can guarantee you the funky stuff is there if the Bible's not. You reckon? If the power of the gospel is not felt, these guys sound like me 200 years ago. This is Daniel Webster. If the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the United States of America, anarchy, misrule, degradation, misery, corruption, darkness will reign without mitigation or end. And that's exactly what happened to the United States of America. Therefore, while I'm here, I will holler about these things. I will raise my voice concerning these things. But Phil, you don't even have to take all the heat that people give you because you tell them they ought to repent and turn to God and he'll pay for their sin. I know that. I'm volunteering to do it. He said, well, why would you do that since you're already rich and famous? You're certainly not doing it for the money. You be loaded. Yeah. You say, well, why you do it? I just like to see them saved. I'd like for them to have the same hope we have. You're like trying to tell them, but it's like pulling teeth. They holler and curse, bad mouths. You're like, good night. Willie said that he thought on Hannity that I misspoke when I said, the guy asked me, is homosexual behavior a sin? I said, let me give you a verse. I started in Leviticus 18, the list of sins. It says in about verse 16, don't lie with a man as one does with a woman. It's detestable. And then he said, don't lie with an animal. Don't have sexual relations with an animal. That's male or female. It's detestable. Well, I just said, look, you know, when he said it's almost sexual behavior a sin, I'm like, well, it's a sin. God made that very plain. And then I said, you may start out by just doing what God said, don't do. No, you break the code of man and woman. I said, then it morphs out. I didn't mean if you were a homosexual, it necessarily makes you practice bestiality. I just meant start with any sexual sins, heterosexual sins, adultery, fornication. Next thing you know, men are sleeping with men, women are with women. Next thing you know, you're sleeping with your stepmother or your sister or your aunt. All of that's in the law of Moses. You're like, that was that code of works that people were to live by. But you do understand why God was so explicit and so strict. Because, as you've noticed, human beings, that's why I speak a lot on sexual sins. You say, why do you speak so much about that? Because it's fairly common. Wouldn't you say? I'm addressing it, hoping that people will say, it doesn't make any difference whether it's heterosexual immorality or homosexual immorality or anything else. It can start, and next thing you know, with that internet and all of that, you say, it will literally consume my life. It really will. Debilitating diseases, follow it. There is no doubt about it. I just read the recent report of the CDC yesterday. I read all of it. It's a sad thing in America. So I'm going to pray for our country. I love all sinners. Are you listening, America? Are you out there? Is anybody out there? I love you. Phil, I'm a homosexual. Do you love me? I said, I love you, dude. There was a high price paid for you. But sin is sin. It can be yours. Removed, and you're guaranteed to be raised from the dead. Why don't we just repent and turn to God? I'm not budging on my stance. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him won't perish. For God did not send the Son of Man to condemn the world, but to save it through him. That's my message. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Father, I do pray for our country. I'm giving this lesson, Father, just to show how many years went by from the time you gave Abraham that promise. I mean, he had to wait for 2,000 years before it came to fruition. Father, what I'm trying to get the folks here and the people in our country to understand is that, look, time to you doesn't amount to doodly squat. You're an eternal being. To us, we look at 2,000 years like forever. Father, I hope we see what the faith and the hope you've given us through our faith and what you've done through Jesus. My prayer is that it become generational and we hand it down to our children and their grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Father, it is plain that all the fame in the world cannot remove our sin at all. And all the money we ever amass on this earth, it's not going to raise us from the dead. So, Father, our hope ultimately, our hope has to be in you. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for us, to be buried and raised from the dead. Father, my brother passed over on the other side. He was a child of yours. So was Judy, and so was Harold. They were a little crusty for sure, but they did love you, Father, and they did put their faith in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. That gives me hope, Father, and that's why I have not wept about the passing of Jimmy Frank to the other side, because I know that old Si and myself, along with Tommy, and then dropping on down to Jan, at the end of the day, Father, all the Robertsons, this particular crowd, will be no more. Then it'll be time for Al and Jace and Willie and Jep and their wives and their children to take our place. Help us, Father, to make the faith generational and we don't lose it during our stay on earth and we don't pass it down to our children. In the name of Jesus, I offer this prayer who made all these things possible. With the help of your spirit that you sealed us for the day of redemption, I ask this prayer. Amen. All right, folks.